WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and Sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. 16th day of May. It's a Monday, and here we are on North Shore Today reviewing some of the news stories making news around the North Shore. And May is a kind of town meeting month and local election month for a lot of communities. We'll touch on a few of those stories. We got some stories from Beverly, up in the Cape Ann area, down in Lynn, all kinds of different stories here today on North Shore Today. And we're going to run an interview with Sherry Zizek, who is from Cruiseport, Gloucester. She was on with Josh Arnold on Trending Now on Friday, Rick. And so that interview will be coming up as part of North Shore Today here on the program.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely worth listening to, Bill. She gives a lot of information about Cruiseport, Gloucester, about the new hotel that will be opening up soon, about the dinner ship that Cruiseport, Gloucester has that goes out on a pretty much on a daily basis. Just lots and lots of good information from Sherry Zizek that I think would it's worth repeating. We had her on Friday. She had a very gracious, good interview on Friday with Josh Arnold. Also, I should point out that Trending Now with Josh Arnold, we're going to be changing the time, I think probably to 10 o'clock on Fridays, but he had a nice interview as well with Ed O'Reilly. Ed O'Reilly is an attorney in the area who is also running for sheriff. And I want to mention that Ed O'Reilly pointed out, I don't know that this is a blanket statement that covers everybody, but he said, as far as he knows, he's the only candidate running for sheriff who supports the Gloucester Angel program. And the fact that he wanted to point out that the sheriff's position is an administrative position. It's an administrative position as opposed to a law enforcement position. And I wasn't sure of that because, remember, I asked you a long time ago, I thought it's interesting that you vote for sheriff. But I guess that's the reason, because it's an administrative position.
Here's one for you, Rick. Lenny Campanello, who is the Gloucester police chief and is the, started the Angel program in Gloucester, and now it's being picked up by other communities. So, as you know, Rick, I was at the Red Sox game on Saturday, and one of my brother's friends from college is from Saugus, and he grew up, Chief Campanello was a year older or a year younger, but I think a year older than this guy, and this guy's actually lives still on the North Shore. Maybe we can talk about that some other time, But anyways, he knew Police Chief Campanella years and years ago, and had very nice things to say about him. Just thought he was a nice person, and whenever you can say that about someone, that's I think it's worth repeating. So nice words from on this young man, now not a young man necessarily anymore, younger than me. My brother's younger than me, but we were at the Red Sox game Saturday, and it's funny how that came up, just mentioning where we're from, where we're living, and all this stuff, and the different people.
Yeah, and you saw a great game, but we can save that for later. One thing I want to point out about Chief Campanella, now that you mention it, is when he was a police officer in Saugus, his specialty was drug enforcement. He was very much, I don't know that he was a detective, I can't remember that, but he was very much involved in anti-drugs and that kind of thing. So he has a lot of experience from the law enforcement side of it, which he has leaned on and used his experience with that stuff in developing this Angel program.
Right, and Salem State Representative Paul Tucker, who's the former police chief, former detective in the Salem Police Department, I talked to him several weeks ago, and he was kind of saying similar kinds of things. He certainly remembers dealing with this issue from a law enforcement end, and really appreciates this different approach to the issue. So, well, and that's we've talked a lot about that. Also coming up today, let me just point out this, that we have a post coming up with the interview with the president from president of North Shore Community College, Patricia Gentile, and that post will be up this morning as well. So we got a bunch of things coming up on the website. Very articulate woman. Very comprehensive interview, has a great grasp on so many of the things that the college is doing. And so that interview will be up today as well.
Yep. And before I take a look at Cape Ann area items, don't want to forget about the story behind the recipe. Talked with Heather Atwood on Friday, and she has a terrific story that she relates to us. It is posted on the website. You want to take a listen. Very, very interesting story about the Shy Brothers. In Cape Ann, Cape Ann stuff, Bill, there's an article in the Gloucester Times today, this morning, that has me a little befuddled, if I may, and I think I'm going to have to give these people a call and try to get more information. It's about something called the Gloucester Biotechnology Academy, which is opening at the Blackburn Circle. Now, I looked up what biotechnology is or means because it really isn't articulated in the paper, and I'm not exactly sure what careers or jobs are associated with that. And then the other thing, the article does not point out as to who will be attending this academy. It says something along the lines of 10 to 20 spots in the inaugural class will be the content of the incoming class size, and it will start in September. But it doesn't say who is eligible, whether these are high school kids, college kids, adults from the community. I don't have any idea. There's a lot in the article about the former mayors who were involved and that kind of thing, but a little nebulous on that. But anyway, the Gloucester, for those who are interested, the Gloucester Biotechnology Academy will be opening in September. A couple of other things. I don't know if, Bill, are you familiar with the Gloucester Barney bags? Do you know what the Barney bags are?
You know, I think I just saw something on that, but you talked about that. That's your recycling, isn't it? Is that your recycling?
When you go to buy them, they're the trash bags. They're purple trash bags with a city emblem on them, and they cost, I believe it's $2 a piece. And here's a bargain for a five-pack, it's $10. So anyway, they're called Barney bags because they look like the purple dinosaur, I guess, Barney. Anyway, the city is contemplating raising the prices from $2 a piece to $2.25 a piece, which would mean, spoiler alert, $11.25 for a five-pack. And other fees, other trash pickup fees are going to be raised as well. At least that's the implication. So the proposed fee increases for Gloucester residents' solid waste collection will be heard. A public hearing will be heard before City Council on May 24. And the changes, if approved, will begin on July 1. So it looks like trash pickup is going to be more expensive in the city of Gloucester. And then there are also a couple of other things on the agenda here. There's an article by Sean Horgan in the Times that the headline says, "Protections for Thorny Skate to be aired in city." Well, the thorny skate is a type of aquatic animal, not something that you do on ice. The Thorny Skate Extinction Risk Workshop will take place at the Maritime Gloucester 23 Harbor Loop from 9 to 4 p.m. on May 19th, so that's Thursday of this week, if you want to go to hear a discussion on thorny skates and whether or not they should be listed under the Endangered Species Act. And finally, there's the dog show to talk about up in Rockport. The Kangal Dog Show will take place Friday, May 20, from 2 to 4 p.m. It's an educational discussion, and it'll take place from 1 to 4 p.m., the dog show itself. Excuse me, this will be at Windhover Center for the Performing Arts, 257 Rear Granite Street in Rockport, 257 Rear Granite Street. It's open to the public, and for more information, you can email happycolors@comcast.net.
Is that a woman, Happy Colors? That's a beautiful name, Happy Colors, if that's
That's not the woman, apparently. Her name is Mary Hughes.
Oh, okay.
At 978-281-6703. Kangals participating in the show will be the only dogs allowed to attend. The Kangal, I guess I'm pronouncing it that, Kangal dog is one of the oldest breeds in the world. So we learned so much from the Gloucester Times and on this program, don't we?
Wow, I didn't know that. I know you have a dog, and I was wondering if you're not far from Rockport, whether you might bring your dog up there, but you don't have one of those dogs, though, right?
Correction. My wife has a dog.
Oh, okay.
And it's not a Kangal.
All right, well, I'm just going to skim very quickly over a couple of stories here. Saugus town meeting's continuing, so they've had a number of issues up on their town meeting. Swampscott town meeting is continuing. They have some issues on there, including what to do with a vacant school. Ipswich will have a town election coming up tomorrow in the local news. And I think they have four candidates for a selectman race. And front page story in today's Salem News notes that a This is a Paul Layton story, our old buddy Paul Layton. A company looking to build a rehabilitation center in Beverly is trying to bypass a state moratorium on new facilities by claiming it is replacing a nursing home that closed 11 years ago. Transitional Care of Beverly has filed an application with the state to construct a $23 million state-of-the-art facility at the site of the current Roller Palace on Sawyer Road. We kind of talked about that the other day and the fact that this project wasn't going forward right away and the roller skating would be continuing at least for the foreseeable future. I just added that into the story, by the way. The state has a longstanding moratorium on new nursing facilities due to an oversupply of beds that was driving up costs for taxpayers and forcing existing nursing homes out of business. I didn't know that. All right. There's something else we're learning here, Rick, huh? So,
yep.
That's one of the stories on the front page of the Salem News. And they also have there's no news from Swampscott on the identity. I guess a number of different law enforcement agencies are investigating this, including the Essex County District Attorney's Office. But a body washed ashore on, I think it's Kings Beach, on Saturday morning, discovered by a jogger at about 5:30 in the morning. But the identity of that body has not been released. And they also, on the front page of the Salem News, I don't know if you're familiar with this. We had a friend that was really into, I think she was into these tiny houses. And the Salem News has a story that, let me just read a tiny little bit of it. I get that. A millennial couple is building a home that is relatively packed. Osborne Street neighborhood, through passerbyers, likely would not notice it. But today, it's a box frame 24 feet long, 8.5 feet wide, with a grated roof between 9 and 10.5 feet tall. So it's a very small house, and this is this. You know, there is a little bit of a trend that these things are out there, building these little tiny houses. I bet, Rick, that even Gloucester might have a few of these. They pop up in different. You see it. They're around in different places, but they're these small houses, very small houses, and some folks are really into them, and it's kind of a thing that's caught on around the country, I think. But anyways, there's a, if you're at all interested in that, there's a great front page story in today's edition of the Salem News. And one other thing I was going to. So, Rick, what do you think? A tiny house. I mean, in the story they say that the two people that are going to be living in this house or building this house, their apartment that they had before was four times the space of this tiny house, basically. So they are small, these some of these.
Well, with cost of real estate, you do what you have to, and you know you can make pretty much any living space a home. You think about all the people all over the world who have been displaced and are living in tent cities, and you see these stories when people are displaced with storms and are living in gymnasiums or in arenas and so on. You can make do, and so if it's something that you can design where two of you or one of you can live that takes care of food and shelter and heat and sleeping and, you know, a biological facility, then you're all set. And I'm not surprised.
All right. And so it's a Monday. This is North Shore Today. Those are some of the stories making news. Let me see if there's one other. I guess I didn't realize this. I don't know why I didn't know that. Alice Cooper was at Lynn City Hall, not just stopping by. Oh, no, wait a minute. This was back a few years ago. Okay. Anyways, they have a story. If any Alice Cooper fans out there, they had a story. They have an Alice Cooper story on the front page of the Daily Item. Yeah, go ahead.
Is Alice Cooper related to Scott Cooper? Do you know?
Well, they look a lot alike.
Okay.
No, they're not. No, they're not at all, and they don't really look a lot alike. Now, I saw Scott Cooper Friday over at the Swampscott baseball game. They were playing classical. Alice Cooper is now 68 years old. And let me think here. I guess those are some of the things making news today on the North Shore. Seems like I'm forgetting something. But I guess we've got the interview with Sherry Zizek coming up from Cruiseport, Gloucester. We've got that interview with Josh Arnold. We'll check sports as well. Coming up here on North Shore Today.
Now with Josh Arnold, our first guest, Sherry DiLorenzo-Zizek. Sherry, welcome to the program. Thank you, Josh.
Well, we usually start in. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then I know we have a lot to talk about of the many different things that you do here in Gloucester.
Oh, that's exciting. I know what's happening. Yep, my name is Sherry Zizek. I'm the owner of originally Cruiseport Gloucester. My background, I went to college at Merrimack College, and then I got my culinary degree from Newberry College in Boston. And I went on to work for Marriott for a lot of years. I retired and came down here to Gloucester and opened up the Cruiseport Gloucester, which was a function facility. We also did some cruise ships in the beginning, quite a few cruise ships. We opened up the restaurant in 2008, and then we bought the ship, the Beauport Princess, to help us take off some of the relief on the function department because we were booking a lot of functions. In the meantime, we were permitting the hotel, and that took quite a long time, 4 years, and now I'm seeing it come to life and my dream coming true, you know, so it's exciting stuff happening.
Great. Now tell us about you run the Cruiseport, and I know a lot of ships come in, and that does a lot for the local economy. Tell us about what it was like to develop that. And how it's been to get different, you know, what do you have to do to go to get cruises to come here?
Well, the cruise ship business is quite a funny business. The smaller ones, which is 500 feet and below, which would be like a seaborne ship or a Pearl Mist, they come right up to the dock, and actually the American Cruise Lines, they come in quite a bit too. They can come right up to our dock because we're a deep water dock and we can dock them there. We have like a Homeland Security license for the Port of Gloucester, and they, you know, are cleared to come in, and they can get right off and get onto, little tiny, like bus type things that can go around Gloucester to the galleries or wherever the, cruise ship decides to take them. That is easy. When the larger one comes in, like Holland America, Carnival, or any of the larger cruise ships, they have to anchor out in the harbor, and then we tender them in. And that's a harder sale to get because most larger cruise ships do not like to tender their folks in on the tenders. However, in 2017, I think we have 5 large cruise ships coming in that are going to tender into the dock, which is exciting because it's quite a bit of work to get the sail and to get them to come into Gloucester. So they are coming in the next year, 2017.
And how many people typically would be on one of those ships?
They're around 2,800 people.
Wow.
Those ships. Yeah, so that's exciting. And, you know, we usually have a welcoming committee from the chamber. They partner with us and give us the volunteers. And they come down to the cruise port and set up tables and help the people to go where they want to go on walking tours or whatever they're going to do, shopping. And they send them around the city because we have a lot of guests that just get off of the ship and walk around. We have a lot of guests that get on buses and they'll take off and go to different places. But it's quite exciting. That's been a long time. That's been 11 years that's been happening. So it's sort of a well-oiled machine, if I can say that, compared to what we started out doing. We have a team in place that's been in place for a lot of years, and I actually don't even have to be at the cruise port anymore because they really know what they're doing to bring in a cruise ship at this point.
Great. And you mentioned the Princess, the Beauport Princess ship that you have. How many people does that hold, and how often is that out, and what are some of the functions that you find yourself catering? I know you can go out for fun, dinner and so forth, but how does that work?
You know, that's a hidden jewel in my mind because a lot of the locals even don't know about that ship because it's so new. We bought that ship in 2013, right, and October of 2013, late in the year, and when I brought it in, we had to completely redecorate the whole ship, you know, which took quite a, you know, we stripped out the entire, gutted the entire ship, even the engine room and the wheelhouse, and with technology and new, from, you know, the floors to the ceilings and wallpaper, new bathrooms, we had to put bars into it. So I knew I loved the structure of the ship when I bought it. I bought it in Panama City, Florida, and I was actually shopping for 2 years for a ship until I found that one. I was excited when I found it. That ship was built in 1995. It was called the Lady Anderson, and it was the fellow that owned it was Ken Anderson, and he passenger shipping for his entire life for 40 years. And he was retiring, and he was selling that ship, which was named after his mother. So I bought the ship up from Florida. We did the ship over, and we started out with, it was in October, and we had some we started out with a Christmas party, and then we shut it down for the winter because nobody goes out in the winter. The next year, I expected it to be, you know, bombarded, which it was not. It was, you know, it took a long time for people to realize it was even at cruise port. So we started doing luncheons and dinner cruises and selling it for small parties like showers and graduations and rehearsal dinners. We did okay. You know, we sort of broke even the first year. The second year is when we started doing weddings, and the public finally found out about us. And then group tours started calling us, and we're starting to do a bus tour. So bus tours would come in and take up a deck, you know, and then we also could do the public at the same time. So we do, Scotty Mac does a lot of our entertainment on the ship, and then we have a jazz band on Sundays that comes in, and we do it. So we do a public brunch every Sunday. And then Sunday afternoon, we try to go out for an evening sunset cruise. And during the week, we do a lunch and cruise every day and a sunset cruise every night. And the menu varies. Sometimes we do lobster bakes, and sometimes we do buffets. It depends on what the public or the party wants on it. We do all of the cooking in a galley on that boat, and we do all our delivery of food and liquor right to the boat. So it's its own entity, and it does very well. So I'm really proud of how far we've come with that, but we still have a long way to go, you know, with the boat.
Great. And tell us about the hotel. I mean, that's, you know, back in the day, I mean, back before I was born, Gloucester was loaded with big hotels all around the back shore, the Magnolia, Bass Rocks, down across from Niles Beach, and one by one they all went away.
Josh, was that when were you around when there was a hotel on Pavilion Beach? Were you around in that those days?
No. I'm not that old, Sherry. But
I know. I'm thinking. Oh my gosh! You know that.
I remember the Moreland, and I remember the Thorwald before when it was a hotel, not the condominiums. And but that's about it. I've seen pictures of all the other stuff, though.
Right. Well, I was. You know, I have a little tiny boat myself. You know, I call it the Sherry Berry, my little boat. And so I live in Lucky Neck, so sometimes I take it to work and in the morning, and I take it home at night in the summer. That's my stress relief.
Well, that's great. So, my father and his brother used to, when Gloucester High School was at Central Grammar, where the apartments are now, my father and his brother used to row a dory across the harbor to go to school and home every day.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, how I'm getting to the hotel part of it is I was out in my little boat. You know, it's only a tiny raft boat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in front of the Bird's Eye, and I said, you know, this is a great place to put a hotel. You know, when I was looking at the Bird's Eye, which was, now that was 6 years ago, maybe,
mm-hmm.
say, Josh. And I said, you know, and it was dilapidated then, back then.
Oh, yeah.
So. I started negotiating with Matt Bell. He owned the property. He was interested in putting it and putting a hotel there himself, but he also wanted to put a supermarket and all sorts of things there too at the same time. He was having a difficult time, you know, with, you know, rezoning and everything else. So we came to an agreement. We brought the Bird's Eye building, and then I started with the permitting, which I thought would be a piece of cake, but we actually had to go through the rezoning the property, and then the special permit, and then, of course, the appeals and everything. And then finally, we got permission to build, and I am just so excited how it fits into that property so well. It looks like it's been there a lot of time.
Oh, it does.
You know, I'm real excited to open up because I really want to showcase it and show everybody how beautiful it is inside. We're going to try not to, you know, of course, we're going to try to keep it at a nice price point for everybody to enjoy it. It has a lot of fireplaces in every suite has a fireplace and a lot of rooms. I think we have 18 fireplaces in the rooms. And then we have, I think, 3 fireplaces in the lobby so that we can year round, it will be welcoming to all the guests, even in the wintertime. So that's going to be exciting. Along with the decks, I have a fire pit that's going to go out on the deck, which is going to be pretty. And then we have a rooftop pool with a bar, you know, and then beautiful function rooms and meeting rooms for corporate, which is going to be high tech for corporate meeting. We have a tavern that's going to be a humongous bar with 44 people with soft seating all around it and a huge lobby. So I just can't wait to get people in to actually see the suites and the rooms and the pool and the lobby, and you know, it's just going to be a spectacular place.
And when is your construction expected to end, and when do you get by the punch list and permits and so forth that you can actually have a ribbon cutting and open up?
We're doing that. We're coming to the end right now. So we get inspected probably every week, and I'm hoping to be in the middle of June to be open and have, you know, and having people stay overnight. So we're looking around June 15th to have the opening. I haven't planned a ribbon cutting because we don't have an exact date.
Yep.
But I can tell you this, we're going to have a grand open celebration in the fall after the summer because I think it's too busy for my staff to be open in a hotel and then having a grand opening on top of everything, because we did book weddings right away, and they're working very hard around the clock to get open. So we decided to put it off until the fall and then invite the entire city in to have a grand opening celebration in the fall. We don't have a date yet, but we will announce it in the paper when we do.
What do the hotel accommodate in terms of people staying there?
We have 94 rooms, and I believe, let me see, we have 18 suites, I believe, in the hotel. So that means, you know, you can have, you know, a living room and, you know, bedroom type of thing.
Sure.
And we have, on top of that, we have just regular rooms throughout the hotel.
And you have a ballroom, do you? Did I understand?
Yeah, we have a grand ballroom. The grand ballroom, we called it the Pavilion Ballroom, is very large. It will fit over 300 people. And then there's a room next to it, another function room. Across from that, those is 2 meeting rooms for, you know, Gorton's could have a meeting there. Applied Materials could come there, you know, so it's for corporate events or meeting rooms. Also, you could have a shower in there.
Mm-hmm.
The room was split. That room is big. It could hold probably about 180, but we could split it in half, and it could hold, you know, smaller parties at the same time.
Great. So,
and then we have a gift shop in there. That's going to be, we're going to sell, you know, some Gloucester items in the gift shop. I'm not sure what, but we're in the process of doing that. You know, then there's a front desk, of course, and we have a grand staircase coming up, and when you come up to the top of the staircase or out of the elevator, the first thing you see is the Greasy Pole view, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited about it. I think it's the best.
And there's a tavern in there, that tavern bar?
Yes, it's a pretty big bar, and then at the end, it sort of looks like it has a big TV, and it has some soft seating, couches, and you can really relax.
So do you anticipate people will be going there to watch the Greasy Pole?
I do. I think there will be, but I think the guests, we have to sort of control.
Yeah.
You can't have 5,000 people in there, so you have to control the crowds. And the guests that are staying there are certainly will be watching that Greasy Pole, and I think they will have a full hotel. So that will be nice, and we're looking forward to servicing everybody for that event. And then, of course, believe it or not, we're going to be at the 4th of July, and that's a wonderful time to be in Gloucester.
How far ahead have people been booking the function rooms, be it for weddings or other events? How far out are you booked?
We're pretty good for 2016-2017. We just started booking a couple of things for 2018 right now.
Wow.
So, but that's the way it is for us all around our business. That's the way we are at Cruiseport also. So this doesn't shock me in the least. People do start booking way ahead of time, so that they can have this special date.
Oh, sure. I know.
Yeah. You know, it's just they want their, if they want a special date, they just book it way in advance. So I'm actually used to that way ahead booking type stuff.
And Seaport Grill is thriving as well? Of course, I just saw you there for lunch, but
it's great. We had a great winter. So, of course, Scotty Cook and Sally are our ambassadors, and they're our first customers, and we still have a lot of locals that still come in every single day, and I'm very blessed to have a community that supports me in such a wonderful way. I just can't thank the community of Gloucester who has been with me since the beginning. And Seaport Grill, I feel like everybody knows everybody's name. It's almost like Cheers,
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like that. You can come in, you can be comfortable, you can say hi to Kayla at the bar, and the servers, the hostesses, the managers. My base of staff have actually, most of them have been there since the beginning of time, so it's sort of nice because everybody knows each other, So I'm really grateful for that. And for the locals holding me through the winter, and then of course the tourists come in, and every restaurant is hit. We just have them all over the place. So, what we call season is really what holds us through the whole year. So, we get ready from Memorial Day to Labor Day to to be really busy. Seaport Grill has always been really consistent, and I'm very lucky because I've had the same cooks for years, and they serve consistent food, and the food is very good, and so it's been great. I really love Seaport Grill.
And not that everything isn't good there, but the desserts,
the desserts
are just. I remember splitting one with the gentleman I was having dinner with, lunch with one day, and one of the people on the neighboring table came over and just said, just to admire how. And said, like you need a shovel. It was that grandiose. But
we have a great baker. She's been with us for years. Our baker, and she makes all our cakes and from scratch, and she makes all our pies and crisp and key lime pies. Everything is made by scratch. She comes really early in the morning, and she leaves by like 9 or 10. And she comes every single day. So she's a fantastic pastry cook, she's fantastic at everything. So I'm really lucky, and she's been with us since the beginning also. So she's always creating and inventing new desserts. That's great. And, I have to say that the culinary team, the kitchen team, they're always thinking up new things too. And every year we take a few things from the menu and we add a few things. This year we're adding an ahi tuna dinner, which is going to be over the seaweed salad and jasmine rice, which is going to be fabulous. So we're adding something, you know, that people request, and I think it's great because Seaport Grill can, you know, easily do that with the large menu that we provide, you know.
Sherry, this is Rick Moore. I got a question to ask you about Cruiseport. You guys have you hold so many functions there, but one in particular that caught my eye, and I wonder how often you do it, is the open door function that you had the other night that raises so much money for the local community. And maybe you could comment on that and other things that you have this great partnership with the community with.
Oh my gosh, Julie LaFontaine, she's the most wonderful woman. Right from the beginning, I met Julie. I think I met Julie actually at Rotary.
Yeah.
If I can think back, you guys might be able to help me with that. But I've always been a Rotarian. And the first thing I wanted to do when I came to Gloucester was join Rotary. Then, of course, I got too overwhelmed with all the businesses, so I had to send a representative in my place. But I met Julie and I became involved in the food pantry. And, at first what we would supply for them would be the turkeys for Thanksgiving and Christmas and hams for Easter for the food pantry. We would send over all anything she needed. You know, she would give me a number every year and we would just do that. So that was my, you know, how we contributed to the food pantry. And then she said to me she was doing this open bowl concept and, geez, I remember this. I said, oh, yeah, but just take the cruise port and do it, you know. So I remember the first year she was in there all by herself setting up. Now she has a whole team that comes in, and it's so organized, and they just set that place up in a day, and then the community comes in and supports the food pantry. They buy a bowl, and they get some soup, and they make quite a bit of money. I'm really happy, and how they organize that, and that's terrific too. We also support the Pathways. They do their snowball ball every December at Cruiseport, and now they're going to do it at the hotel, but because they're getting so big. But they do a big, big fundraiser also, and we do, we do the animal shelter in February. We do that big auction for them. So, and we do the Art Haven, you know, where they do the buoys, you know, for the, they paint the buoys, the lobster buoys, and they auction off those. So we do quite a bit of charity work. I try to do it off-season because, we are so busy on-season, but, you know, sometimes we have to sneak in a non-profit in the season also. But we try to do as much as we can. I try to keep Rotary at the, you know, I never try to go up on them, and I try to support the Rotarians there so that they can be comfortable and love the facility also. So I really want to keep the community involved with Cruiseport. That's really important to me. So I'm really happy to have the food pantry, and it is exciting to see everybody come in and buy those bowls. Oh, my gosh, it's great.
And there are lots of charities. I mean, a big piece of what you do is providing, certainly you're very generous in your support of organizations, but also in being a host to so many nonprofits or charitable
right.
groups that are trying to earn some money to help people who are
right.
marginalized or disadvantaged.
Right. Well, you know, Josh, my, I have a value system, a business value system, and I tell my service this all the time, you know, we service the guests, you know, that's what we do, you know, we're hospitality, and the guest is what makes my business, it's what makes my revenue. So, you know, I talk to the service, well, if you're going to service the guests, it's important also that we service each other. You know, help each other out, service, I'm talking within my business, service each other, make sure everybody's okay, make sure everybody's happy. If there's a problem, to let the management know and everything else. But then what happens is it grows out to the community. And I realize that by teaching the service to service each other, it extends to the community and they start servicing the community. For instance, we have now a program with Action that we're training some of their clients in the hospitality industry so that they can work for cruise port or the hotel. So that came from my staff out into the community and service the community. And that's, and another thing is what my staff is doing is they go over to the open bowl and they buy a bowl and they support the community that way. So I think what's happening is it's just not for me. It just, it grows for me, and everybody is there to service each other. So I really like that concept. You know, we service the guests, but then it just grows to service everybody else. And then I can help the community and the nonprofit charities, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So that they can, you know, have some money coming in. Because it really is hard for the nonprofits to keep, you know, having, you know, to survive. You know, it really, it's a really, I'm on a lot of boards and it's very difficult to keep everything going, you know. Between the YMCA, the Pathways, the Open Door, it's a they really need quite a bit to keep you know, to keep the community going. And I think it's a great way. I also think that, you know, the education of the kids, the high school, is very important. They have the culinary department there. We love to help out the hospitality there. Also, the GMGI, which is in my the Gloucester Marine Institute. Do you know about that?
Yeah.
Genomics Institute. They're into they're in my building right now, and they're opening up in the Blackburn, and they're starting an institute for the high school students, an intern program, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even in that science part of it, which I don't even know anything about, but I'm involved in it, I think it's very important that all of these new things in Gloucester are helping so many people. It's really great.
Great. Well, we want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold and sharing your success story as a business entrepreneur, but also for all that you do to help the charities and nonprofits in Gloucester, not the least of which is the Rotary Club.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Josh. And
thank you.
You're calling me. And call me anytime if you'd like to talk, okay?
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Very much. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Welcome back to North Shore Today, and that's Josh Arnold with Sherry Zizek from Cruiseport Gloucester. In sports, just a couple of notes here. Baseball, Swampscott over the weekend was a 1-0 winner over Masconomet. That would be the Big Blues' 11th win of the year. They qualified for the state tournament with their win on Friday. So congratulations to Swampscott Baseball. They're having a very good season under Coach Jason Kalishman over at Swampscott High School.
Yeah, Bill, I just want to mention tonight on North Shore Sports Night, we have a very special guest lined up, scheduled, keep my fingers crossed. He's a professor down at the City University in New York, an adjunct professor, but he's also a sports writer. He's got several books out named Charles. The guy's name is Charles Learson, and one of his books about Ty Cobb just absolutely caught my eye, and it's fascinating. But he writes about sports from a little bit different view, and it's sort of a historical perspective with much, much research, and so we're going to learn a little bit, I think, about the Indy 500, about one of the world's most famous racing horses, and if not the most famous or most loved, and also the story about Ty Cobb.
Gotcha, and it's a Monday. That means there's plenty of high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse all happening on the North Shore, and we'll try to keep you posted on that and a lot of other stuff during the day today. So that's it for us. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us here on North Shore Today. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.